Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's the white guy without abs. I'm Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast as we are ready to talk about our first eviction of Big Brother 23. It was Travis who did get conked and out of the house. And we have a new HOH to talk about. That is Kylan, and should be a very fun night to talk with our panel. Of course, back with us tonight, here he is. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm very excited, Rob. That's we basically in Big Brother US took a full season break from an HOH that might change the status quo. So to get one right away here on Big Brother 23 is just, it's very exciting.
Okay. All right. Well, Taryn, very excited to hear your breakdown of everything from tonight. Of course, very excited. I feel like that she pops up here on Thursdays a lot. Always fun to have an eviction night with, of course, the co-host of the B&B. The Survivor B&B, the Masked Singer rap, RuPaul's Drag Race, and many others. Here is the great Dr. Liana Boris.
Thank you, Rob. I also, like Taryn, am very excited. I almost did a dancey dance in my pantsy pants. Just could not be happier about this HOH outcome, and I think we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Okay. Were you Zach Rantz?
Oh, gosh, no. Don't give me a pink hat.
Tiffany had one.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely not a Fruit Loop dingus, Liana Boris. And then here with us to talk about BB23, of course, the co-host of the Wrestling Rehap Up, Matt Scott is here. Matt, how are you?
Bring the bell, Rob. I'm happy to be here. I am blessed and highly favored after tonight's HOH.
Hailing from the Garden State of New Jersey. Yeah. I wish I had an intro like you.
No, you're working on it. You're getting there, Rob. But oh my gosh, what a way to end tonight's episode. So excited to be here with you.
Yeah, definitely an interesting HOH competition. Glad that we got it in the episode. You know, when Julie wrapped up the interview with Travis after two questions, I was like, all right, oh, we're getting HOH tonight. Then I got a little nervous during tech issues, but we did get our HOH competition, which was an interesting one that we will talk about here tonight. And much more. I do want to give out another one of our Instagram polls. We've been having a lot of fun with this all season long. Up on our Instagram page right now, we have a brand new poll up that asks the question, will Frenchie touch the block this week? We want to know from you. We'll get you those answers later on the show. You can go on Instagram at RHAP Grams to let us know what you think. And of course, you can also send us your questions anytime for the panel at robhasawebsite.com/BB questions. And of course, that's just the start of all the questions that we'll take when Taryn and I are live for the BB Q&A for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast around the time that the feeds go off for the nominations. We'll take your questions live on that patron episode of Rob Has a Podcast. So looking forward to that on Friday. But I guess, should we start with Travis?
Sure.
Was there
sure.
anything there?
What about Travis specifically?
Matt, what about Travis?
Yeah, just stripping, the lack of a shirt. I didn't realize that taking off your shirt was a personality trait, but I'm not mad at it. I was going to say like, oh, I'm over this guy. But then the shirt came off and then it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll give him a little bit more time. So it was good knowing him, though. And I'm glad that he made 15 new friends and loves them all, just like Azza's grandpa. Polygamy, great. We're learning lessons this week in BB.
15 lovers. I was all trying lovers. To try to think how many facts I could list about Travis.
Yeah.
He went to business school.
Yep.
Not really good grades.
He has abs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, Hawaii.
Lives in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Sold his company when he was 23.
Apparently retired.
Didn't he get sued? Ooh. Is that him?
Striptease? We say striptease?
He got sued for the striptease?
Stained in his bed. Whipped cream.
Yes. Yeah. Boom. Nailed it.
Didn't
here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I the second I saw Travis in a dress on the feeds, I knew that like this is our first boot and this is what is going to make the air on his eviction night. And it's going to be what most people remember him for. You know, like Joey before him, you know, like there's usually or like Cameron before, well, not before Joey.
He did a striptease also.
Exactly. Like there's usually first boot that just has.
Does Cameron get lumped in as a white guy with abs first boot?
Sure.
Why not?
If I'm Cameron, I'm claiming that.
What's funny to me is so Travis says, yeah, that I've heard that the white dude with abs goes out first.
He says gets conked first.
Thank you.
Conked first. Mm-hmm. I guess Travis's vocabulary is about a century behind, but his big brother information is like a decade behind. Like the model curse hasn't been a thing for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said he heard it. He didn't say it was true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I'll go with it.
Yeah, Julie asked him what went wrong. He said,
"What went wrong for you?"
I mean, I always heard it was like the white guy with abs that kind of gets conked first.
It's cray cray.
You don't want to get conked,
or do you?
If you can avoid it, I don't think you. I don't think you want to get conked.
Nuts.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to get conked in the nuts. Yeah, but but Travis was, you know, I feel like that the build up to Travis before the season is like, oh, watch out for this guy. This guy is going to be a major issue. And, you know, he seemed like fine.
Yeah. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. I would say the business plan proposal, you know, obviously Jeffrey Bezos style, all out there, yes. Really going to go for it.
On a napkin, yeah.
I brought my graphs, my charts, my progress reports. That's the most I will remember him for that. And of course, the striptease, as Taryn pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, he was there.
By the way, we will have an exit interview with Travis coming up on Friday, so be on the lookout for that. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of what Travis said to try to blow up Frenchie's game. Taryn, do you have any insight into what he might have said?
If I had to guess, my guess would be that he said, hey guys, don't trust Frenchie. His word is no good. He promised me night one he would never nominate me, and look at what's happening now. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So nothing really matter.
Not too explosive at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think given all the other things that Frenchie has done, that doesn't even make the top 10 of egregious errors. No. So I doubt it's going to make much of an impact, but good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, Travis, he had a nice, he called it a showmance with Derek X, where Derek X called it a showmance about, you know, what could have been between him and Travis in the house. I mean, that seemed like a sweet friendship.
Underrated storyline between Travis and Derek X is that Derek X just wants a job from Travis.
Oh,
yeah. And like, I would say at least 50% of their conversations, Derek would remind Travis, like, you're giving me a job, right?
Mm-hmm. What will he do for Travis?
I don't know. But I don't know what the job is.
Doesn't Derek have a startup?
He's unemployed, guys. He has a startup business, but what that really means is that he's fun employed and he would like to be regular employed.
Hmm.
Oh my gosh.
By Travis.
Is Travis hiring?
Circulating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Circulate his resume or his LinkedIn or something. Let's get him hired.
Mm-hmm.
Not with Travis though.
No, okay. But not the food influencers and their boxes. What will happen? Terrible.
Okay. Well, tonight's episode was, you know, not too much going on. We did see the construction of the slaughterhouse, Taryn. Last night we were debating whether or not we would ever see the slaughterhouse on the television show. We got a little bit of the creation of the slaughterhouse and just how many people are actually in the slaughterhouse.
Yes, they did. They specifically requested that Frenchie pull these people together for this moment so that they could put it on the show. And it's these eight people that are in the official slaughterhouse. I've taken issue with how they've been presenting Frenchie's nonsense, mostly because they haven't been presenting much of Frenchie's nonsense. I do understand it because it's going to be very difficult to portray exactly where Frenchie comes from, but primarily the reason why he started targeting Derek X, I felt like was kind of like, oh, well, Derek X kind of did this thing and maybe that's why, which was not really the case, but I get it. They needed some kind of reason. They didn't want to show Frenchie just coming up with it out of nowhere. And then this whole slaughterhouse business, they made it seem like Frenchie, as he said, handpicked, you know, seven other people. It's like this enemy and this threat. And it's like he's putting together Ocean's Eight or whatever. But the reality is that he approached everybody except for, I think, three people, maybe two, told them about the slaughterhouse and what we, I will imagine, we'll eventually see, the butchers. And then eventually there was a certain amount of them in the room together. And he was like, well, I guess this is the one then. And there are, so there are other people in the house that know about the slaughterhouse, but aren't officially in it anymore because they weren't part of this official one.
And you feel like the show is assigning him like agency, that it makes it seem like, even though they're sort of making it seem like this is a ridiculous alliance, they're still giving him like there's some sort of a master plan.
Yes. And again, like, I do understand that trying to portray everything that Frenchie's doing in a way that makes any kind of sense is going to be difficult in a very, you know, short time frame. But I definitely felt like there was a lot of fun to be had with, make an alliance and I want to call it the slaughterhouse. How he said that to basically everyone. And then it was full of different people at different times and there were different cores at different times, before it finally just happened to land on this configuration.
Yeah.
For a show that like normally hits people right over the head with everything they're trying to communicate and very expressive, like they definitely have downplayed it. But at the same time, it was really interesting that Julie just started out the episode like shading Frenchie, calling his gameplay dizzying. And I just feel like I get the fact that his HOH was chaotic. I wish that we saw more of that, though, to Taryn's point.
They did describe it as a reign of madness. And I do believe, yeah, dizzying strategy is what Julie was calling it. But what was interesting about the whole slaughterhouse thing is they could have done it like the way that they did, where Frenchie promised all the women safety, where they have this montage of Frenchie talking to all these different people about the slaughterhouse. Because when they actually put together the final clip package for it, the first clip was from day two of the feeds. So that's how long this thing has been around and sort of floating around. And like, Whit was not part of the initial official creation. So anyway, it was this whole mess. But I did love the fact that they included at least Xavier and Derek, or Big D, being like, yeah, no, this is not a thing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, actually. They did it a couple of times throughout this segment where they basically took like a snapshot of, here's like four of the people involved in this and briefly what their thoughts were. It's not really something I've seen before, at least in the modern era of Big Brother. It reminded me of the sort of montages they used to do back in the early days of Big Brother. And I really liked it in both of the segments that they did it, because first of all, it felt like they were actually giving their actual thoughts. And second, it was a great snapshot of this is what people are thinking in this moment about this thing. And I thought it was great.
So if you feel like Frenchie got off easy on the Slaughterhouse, then, well, at least we got the inclusion of the French kisses, where I feel like that Frenchie really was made out to be much more of a fool as he tried to propose the all women's alliance that all of the fans have been waiting for.
I mean, Rob, it still could have been way worse. They left out the part where immediately after forming this, he rats it out to his other people in his other alliance.
I'm just so happy, though, that they included all of the confessionals, because to hear all of the women drag him for creating the Women's Alliance was just music to my ears. I could not be happier that that was there, because the audacity, my gosh, of them to do that, audacity for them to do that was just too much Frenchie.
Yeah, the unmitigated gall of Frenchie to do that. And that I just appreciate Aza breaking it down like, this is an all-girls alliance that we're forming with Frenchie. This is not, he's not a woman. So that was just, that was good to see. I almost feel like, though, that this whole situation with the edit might be like, we want the truth, but we can't handle the truth. Like, there's so much. I can't picture all of this in a BB episode without us just being overwhelmed and rolling on the floor. Like, why is he still in the house? How are people putting up with this? I don't think that people can handle the full edit of Frenchie in this episode.
Let me ask this question, Taryn, because I think that, you know, the producers I'm assuming that they don't want to, like, lead the witnesses so much. Like, how much are the house guests, like, in private, actually, like, saying the types of things, like, really just, like, going off about how terrible Frenchie's HOH reign has been? Because if they're not giving it to them in the diary room, they don't have it for the show.
I mean, in terms of specifically calling out things like the Slaughterhouse nonsense and ratting out the Women's Alliance, he hasn't been caught doing those things yet, except for a little bit with Sarah Beth and Kylan. But they have been talking about how, like, this guy is out of his mind. And Hannah, even just the other day, was like, why does he keep saying that he doesn't want a minority or a woman to go home first when he nominated a black man and a Latina woman? Like, what is with this guy?
It's a good question.
So there's definitely stuff they can sing. And I don't think they're trying to make Frenchie out to be, I don't think they're intentionally trying to make him look better than he is. I think they're just trying to tell a cohesive narrative. And so, again, I understand where that's coming from. But man, are the show viewers missing out on pure, unadulterated Frenchie.
Yes.
Woo! I tell you what, I'm something else.
Yep.
Daggum, something else.
That's the truth.
Okay. We got Kylan's birthday. Kylan turned 30. Course becomes HOH on his 30th birthday week, and so we got to see Travis perform for Kylan's birthday. The whole house seemed to want to go all out for Kylan's birthday, and Travis was able to help bring in the celebration.
Well, kind of. I mean, like, and this is where I was looking at, like, look, when he took the dress off, I was like, okay, I'm with this. But before, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm a Drag Race fan. If you're gonna, like, try to dress up as a woman or in drag, like, at least put in your full effort into this. And so I was a little disappointed with the lack of effort. Also, it occurred to me, they don't have music. So that must have been the most awkward striptease ever. And I'm really curious what that sounded like. If there's a clip I could find.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know Derek X is the one looking for a job, but if Chippendales was hiring, maybe, you know, Travis could throw his name in the ring there. He tried his best. Again, he did his little dancey dance, and I hope Kylan enjoyed it, I guess.
We saw the the Queens have a conversation of here's the play, Travis, go tell Frenchie you could be his shield. Both Frenchie and Brett said, oh, that was actually pretty good. Not good enough to keep him.
Yeah. It was something. I mean, honestly, what Frenchie said in his goodbye message was pretty spot on in the sense, like, hey, you made great points, but like, and I don't remember exactly how Frenchie worded this.
Yeah, okay. I do here, Taryn.
Okay, here we go.
You made a heck of a presentation to me, man, but it's hard to move a Mack truck when it's moving 90 miles down the road.
What, the plan is the Mack truck or Frenchie is the Mack truck?
Both.
Mm-hmm. The Mack truck was already moving.
Yeah,
90 miles down the road.
But it should be
has a lot of inertia, right? It should be easy to move a Mack truck.
In fact, it's very much moving. I guess maybe the opposite direction.
Yeah,
trying to change direction.
Turning around an ocean liner, if you will. Yeah,
you hear that one.
Yes,
yeah.
It's going to get stuck in the canal. It's very slow. Yeah,
I talked about it this morning, but the pitch it was a fine pitch for a like okay. Two people just got put on the block, or maybe even before people got put on the block, you're making a pitch for why Frenchie should include Travis in the alliance instead of Alyssa. But it's way too far down the line to maybe be making this kind of pitch, especially, you know, this took like 5-10 minutes tops, and then he bounced out of there. That's just not how you change hearts and minds on the eve of your eviction. It's certainly not how you, you know, divert a Mack truck going 90 miles an hour.
Okay, here's the problem fundamentally with the pitch. It was logical. Okay, Frenchie does not operate on logic. You have to go
such a good
with
point.
Dreams. Pull a Shambo. Pull, you know, like say you had a dream about a thing and then something happened and then a fly landed on you. And I don't know.
Liana,
like
give us the pitch.
Work.
What's the pitch that would work?
It'll be like, okay, I had some severe sleep apnea the other night, and in that spell came to me a fairy who landed on me and said, Travis, tell Frenchie Alyssa must leave tonight. Ring! And then it just disappeared.
Now, wait a daggone minute. That's the best daggone pitch I've ever heard.
You're welcome. I knew it.
Wake up the slaughterhouse.
I misjudged you. I was prejudiced. I didn't know you talked to fairies.
I have that ability. Oh, no. Yeah, hey, Shaka bro.
I had you all wrong, Travis.
I mean, a lot of people prejudge meatheads. Okay, I'm just a fairy speaking young man who aspires to be a Chippendales dancer one day. It's all I ever dreamed. That would have worked. You're welcome.
Yeah. What might have been? Okay.
We need to write this down in Frenchie's notebook.
Write it down in Frenchie's notebook. We got our speeches from the nominees tonight. Alyssa gave a lot of shout outs.
Go to mollybird.com. I think that's it.
Mollybird.com?
We don't want to know.
Is that, what is that? That's her swimsuit?
Is that her swimsuit?
Yeah.
Something else.
Mollybird.
Maybe a nature website.
.com. Okay.
Didn't you mention someone named Gator? Gator Axel Lynn.
Yeah, no. Mollybird.com. Right. This domain is for sale for $295. Maybe she's selling that domain, maybe.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Go to mollybird.com.
Buy my domain. And then I'm going to hype it up every week on Big Brother. Boy, Taryn, what a play that would be. If somebody just buys a domain name, plugs it every week on Big Brother, and then sells it.
I mean, maybe that's something Travis would be into. I don't know if it would find that much success.
Say it every day on the live feeds. Taryn then has to report on what you're saying on the live feeds, on the live feed update.
Links that you plug every
what ugh. Like what would you do with that? This is such a ridiculous idea.
So
I mean,
Frenchie would love it.
$1 million.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Wait, I typed in M O L L Y. It's M O L L I E. Sam is saying in the chat. Mollybird.com. There you go.
She needs.
Oh, that's
she
a
needs
real
to
one.
Get the other one too.
Oh,
I hope no one else gets.
Okay.
M O L L Y bird.com.
Yeah. All right.
Start a rival swimsuit line.
I don't want to be distracted here. Close
I mean, if people are looking for swimsuit lines, Kemi from Big Brother 21.
Kemi has a swimsuit line?
Somewhere, yeah.
Okay.
Look at that.
Like Honey.
Oh.
Likehoney.com?
Something like that.
Okay. All right. There you go. Huh. Travis has a pitch to tell the people why he should stay. And his pitch includes a explanation of what's going on with his sheets.
And if anyone discovers the stains in my bed, on my bed sheets, mm-hmm. it's not what you think it is. I got pranked with shaving cream while I was sleeping.
You're on live TV. Please, we don't need to. Not that visual. And now I'm wondering.
Yeah. He didn't have time to campaign to others. He was just busy self-marinating himself. So.
Yes. Julie Chen Moonves was like, what the French is this guy talking about?
I mean, if he just owned up to it, he could be on the next season of Too Hot to Handle.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for it costs $2,000. But mm-hmm. I guess he's got the money. Julie was like, thank you for that, Travis. I think she hated him.
That's possible. Not a whole lot of warmth necessarily from the Chen bot, but especially
she
in that interview.
She seemed very comfortable with the, social distant wave to you.
Somehow the non-hug takes more time and awkward energy than an actual hug would. I don't know why, it's like, okay, we're a safe distance from each other. Like, that is all you need to say, not like, so wish I could hug you, but can't. Virtual hugs. This is what we're...
Also, he's been in a bubble. Like, he clearly does it, unless we're, trying to protect Travis. Like, he definitely does not have, I don't want to say any disease, but he definitely does not have COVID that he's, been tested a million times. Unless Julie's worried that she has it.
Rob, could you imagine if at the beginning of every podcast, you were like, here's Taryn. I was like, hey, Rob, virtual hug. I wish I could hug you right now,
but
it's a greeting, but we're okay. Virtual hug. All right. Now let's get to the podcast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. The way that Julie feels about hugs. God, this is, I feel like Julie would be cringing even with a virtual hug, but wow, the way that she feels about hugs, I think she's probably so thankful for social distancing. Mm-hmm. And she'll probably be social distancing for years to come. Good for Julie.
Has anybody ever taken their shirt off during a plea to stay in the house?
I feel like Jesse might have.
Mm-hmm.
Austin didn't wear shoes that one time, but I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't take them off though.
Okay,
that's true. They were already off. Yeah, it wasn't part of which. Yeah, I don't know if that was part of the plea. But if the white guy with the abs gets conked, I feel like you should cover those up. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to show off that you have abs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
classic mistake.
I know.
So let's talk about those votes tonight, because it was by a vote of 11-2. If I have the math right, two votes to evict Alyssa. They were Derek F. and Tiffany. Taryn, what's going on here? Do we have a hinky votes in play?
Yes. So I'll go in order here. Derek F., he's a bit of a pot stirrer. Mm-hmm. And he asked Xavier, should I cast a hinky vote and try to blame Derek X for it? And Xavier said, no, that's a bad idea. And so he's okay. Then he went to Alyssa herself and said, hey, would you mind if I cast a rogue vote against you to try to blame Derek X for it? And she said, yes, I would mind. Please don't do that. So he went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine that with two of these votes out there, one of Xavier or Alyssa is going to go, I wonder if Derek F did one of those. The other one, just to quickly get through this one, Frenchie approached Tiffany and asked her to cast a rogue vote against Alyssa in order to blame Derek X for it, so that Derek X would be a target coming into this week, and Frenchie would be able to not be as big a target coming into this week. And Tiffany said, I will do that as long as you never tell a soul.
Bad Frenching idea, I think.
I'm just excited for when Frenchie goes to pitch to Kylan why Derek X should go up in the block and be like, he somehow figured out how to vote twice. I don't know how he did it, but he did.
Two votes.
Mastermind. He got to save a vote somehow. So got to get rid of him. I can see that being part of the pitch.
Yeah, he kind of needs to figure out who to throw under the bus who he's not allegedly aligned with. So that might be a little bit tough.
Yeah. So, we saw the Hinkie votes work at times last season. We also saw that, didn't Danny Donato say to Cody that she was going to do a Hinkie vote and then denied that she did it, but then she really did?
Yes. Yeah. She asked Cody to do a rogue vote with her. He said no. And then afterward, he was like, so you went ahead and did it. And she was like, how dare you?
Yeah, so we'll see if that is going to be part of the intrigue this week with Kylan being the HOH. Do we think that, like, is there enough trust in the cookout that, there won't be accidental somebody going up on the block without, within the cookout, there is all of the information about the Hinkie votes?
Well, nobody knows about Tiffany's vote except for Frenchie. Mm-hmm. I guess theoretically Tiffany knows where her vote was, and then, Derek F knows where his vote was, and Xavier might be able to predict where one of them came from. But I don't think Tiffany, Tiffany has this information now, and she can blame Frenchie for it if she needs to. I don't know if she's going to tell Kylan, if she's going to tell Derek, or if she's going to keep it to herself. She's got options here. I think all options will work out for her, no matter how she does it, or depending on how she does it. Big D, on the other hand, I'm not sure where this one's going to go. He might out himself. The thing about Derek F and the Hinkie vote is that after he cast it, he's walking down the hallway. He pauses, I presume to collect himself. And then he's like, okay, ready? He walks out the door. The second he walks out the door into the living room, he's got the biggest guilty grin on his face. He's like, he just took a cookie out of the cookie jar when he wasn't supposed to. I feel like people might have an idea that he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Taryn, like, with that pause too, I wasn't sure if it was him doing that or if he was
looking in the mirror,
someone
I thought,
else to come in. Maybe looking in the mirror, yeah. Just checking himself out.
Like, damn, I look good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, but that look, I'm a little worried for him. I'm worried for him, for Derek, I should say Big D, after this last week. He just, there's a lot of questionable stuff happening, but I feel like he's okay this week with Kylan as HOH. I don't feel like this is his time to be called out for this, even if they do figure out where he was putting all that that Big D energy.
I think regardless of whether or not it was a smirk or not, he likes to talk. And something like that is, I think, just ultimately gonna come out. He's gonna want to share with somebody. And if, especially the fact that Kylan is in power, I think that might encourage him to come out with the information, because it's someone who, theoretically would be protecting. Although, there's a little bit of shakiness within the cookout because of Big D. But I think Kylan will stay true to that. He hasn't shared that information with anybody else, not even Sarah Beth, who he's super close with. So I think because of that, Big D's probably safe, but he talks a lot.
Let's talk about this HOH competition, because it was an interesting one. Week two crapshoot, not uncommon in Big Brother. And this was an interesting one because this did combine an element of some strategic positioning with the crapshoot. Taryn, I am assuming that you love this.
I liked it. I think that it was an interesting one to think about in terms of like how would I go about this. I would classify this as like a crapshoot with a decently heavy skill sort of segment attached to it. But overall, I think still good. You know, it's pretty typical for there to be some kind of crapshoot like this in the second week, and I do like the element of strategy that involves trying to choose a number prior to seeing what everyone else has chosen, because it's still pretty crapshooty in that sense, but it does allow some level of like strategy and thought to go into it. All right. So yeah, pretty cool.
I'm intrigued. So what it would be the Taryn hack?
My thought was I'm going straight for 30. I'm gonna try the hardest shot. I'm playing with 13 other people, and the chances of me, you know, getting the right spot without having too many people above me that still have a chance to get their shot in, and like say I'm, you know, at number 20 or 22, and there's theoretically 7 to 8 people ahead of me. All it takes is for one of them to get lucky and it goes in, and I've still lost. So I might as well be the person who, if I get it in, I win no matter what. And for all I know, the shots are way easier than they seem. And if that's the case, then I've won. So you know, I would go for 30.
It depends. Sometimes they get to practice, right? The crapshoot competitions. I would be interested to know whether or not they got to practice, because that might make an impact. I was trying to decide, and I don't have the mathematical equations to describe the exact parameters of the shot, but it was it's this parabola curve. And so I would wonder if there's sort of this, there's a place where there's this optimal window in order to maximize the shot based on the way the shark head is angled.
Liana, save it for the holy moly 3D and 2D podcast. Cast, okay.
Yes, of course. Right. We don't want to get too shuffleboard / miniature golf up in here. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just so curious. Like, if not for the malfunctioning with those little credit card machine things, I wonder what. Like, did everyone just go for the highest number?
Yeah.
What was the situation? Well, because
they charged them sales tax. It was really just an issue when they were going through the conversion rates.
Yeah, they had 30, and with tax somehow they only had 28. I don't know numbers.
I mean, that would have been great to see some sort of like a who was putting in what number. But for all we know, they just made it completely randomized, because this is what Julie told us right when the competition was about to start.
Okay, we are having technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So think about where you want to stand.
Okay.
And I will be right back.
All right.
That's hearing that's really, really triggering. I was worried that we would be here without an HOH, just wondering what would happen. And so.
Okay.
Rob.
I imagine what they did is they separated everyone and they had them whisper into their microphone what number they wanted, and then they got back to being like, okay, you
why don't you just tell us the number you want to stand on?
Derek X, you need to pick a new number. This person, you need to pick a new number. And then they just kept going until they had everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should Kylan have picked 30, Taryn, for his 30th birthday?
Clearly not, because the one he picked was working.
Yeah. This was tense, because it looked like, you know, we had Alyssa at 15 hits the shot. Okay. Then Brent at 16 hits the shot. Okay. This is easy. Everybody's going to hit their shot. Then all of a sudden, Hannah at 17 misses. Asa at 18 misses. Xavier at 19 misses. Christian at 20 misses. Tiffany 21 misses. Whitney 22 misses. Claire 23 misses. I was like, oh my God, Brent's gonna win this thing. And then Kylan like basically takes like a hockey shot and just goes like right in. Boom. Julie says it was good.
There it is.
No bank shot, and
that's exactly what I mean too. Like if you're one behind Kylan, like a high 20 number, then you still like the chances of just one other person also getting it in after you. You just made a difficult shot only to be outshot anyway. Mm-hmm. I say go for the tough one, but man, Was this beautiful? I was watching this live, and I saw Brent get it in, and this person after person, I was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like watching the zombie apocalypse slowly walk toward you. Like, it's a slow disaster coming right at you, and then Kylan comes in like Gandalf the White and saves the day, and I was very excited.
Oh my gosh! This, even just hearing you reread that, Rob, just brought me back to that moment, that emotion, that feeling of just being like, of course, Brent is going to win this competition, and the Slaughterhouse is going to stay together, and it's going to get committed, because that's, of course, the way the things work in Big Brother. We can never have nice things. And then Kylan comes in and saves the day. And it was just a magical, positively emotional moment. And I was living for every second of it. And just, I'm so happy right now.
Oh my God. My heart is racing right now, just thinking about it too. And it's wild because I'm just so glad that we had Kylan as HOH of all people, because something I'm wondering is, who did not want to win HOH? Like, I don't know how throwable this comp really is, just because everyone came so close, but man, Kylan, like, and I think even just beyond like the game itself and him as a person, like, to go from crying surrounded by a room of more Black people than we've ever seen in a Big Brother house, to then being HOH and having that space. And, you know, as a Black queer person, it's like, whoa, like, allegedly Kylan is pansexual and part of the LGBTQ community. And it felt good. I had to collect myself before joining this podcast, just because even talking about it, it's getting me a little bit emotional. But it means a lot to so many people. And I'm just glad that we have Kylan, and we have him for the week, and we don't have Frenchie as HOH, most importantly.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany is safe. Claire is safe because they're on his team. Mm-hmm. And I guess Travis, RIP, is also safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for him.
In the outside world.
That's right. Okay. Him and Island Girl, or whoever he shouted out.
Yeah, that was so weird. Island Mama. Isn't that what he said?
Island Mama, yes.
It was even weirder.
Mm-hmm. There might be a few of them, which is why that would be the move.
It's like a baby, baby, please.
Yeah, exactly. Good for him.
Yeah. Okay. After Kylan goes, Brittany at 25 is going to miss. Big D misses at 26. Sarah Beth misses at 27. And Derek X had it shot. That would have been fun too, to see Derek X rise to power, but he ultimately misses. I kind of thought that Derek X was like going to pull it out, like with the veto competition. It's like, okay, here's another like geometry based, like, okay, just hit the angles and he was going to do it. But no, no such luck. Kylan is the HOH. All right, here's where it's going to get interesting. Taryn, what do we think Kylan is going to do with these nominations?
It's tricky because Kylan is the person who probably least needed the HOH, in the sense that he is good on so many sides. Now, I do think that he needed the HOH because he is quickly falling out of favor with one of the sides, but he is theoretically in the Slaughterhouse Alliance. Now, the caveat to that is that nobody in the Slaughterhouse Alliance, except for Xavier and Big D, likes Kylan all that much, trusts Kylan all that much. And in fact, a few of them were trying to actively evict Kylan this week. Mm-hmm. That's something to account for. In addition to that, Kylan has ratted the Slaughterhouse Alliance out to Sarah Beth, who is one of his closer allies. That's something to watch out for. He's also, of course, covered with the Cookout Alliance on top of his thing with Sarah Beth. He also obviously has some kind of thing with Derek X, who just saved him with the veto. And the possible people that he could nominate that he is not with in some capacity is very small. In fact, it's about Brittany. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
He needs two.
Okay.
He needs at least two. Not great.
No.
Yeah. So if he doesn't want to have to target anybody in the slaughterhouse, if he doesn't want to have to target anyone in the cookout, and he doesn't want to have to target Sarah Beth, then his options are basically Brittany and Derek X. But if he doesn't want to target Derek X, then he doesn't have any options and he's going to have to put some people on the block that he is technically aligned with. Now, with that in mind, I think that he will absolutely not touch anyone in cookout. I think he will absolutely not touch Sarah Beth. And that leaves him theoretically seven options. I would love to think that he would not put Derek X on the block. I can't guarantee that. But if he doesn't, then that leaves six people. You've got Frenchie, Brittany, Whitney, Brent, Alyssa, and Christian. I don't think he intends to target Christian. None of his allies would want him to target Christian. I would take Christian off that list. But I think those other five are definitely possibilities. Frenchie touching the block, whether it's as a target or a pawn, I definitely think is high probability at the moment.
Worst case scenario. Another worst case scenario for Frenchie.
It's always worst case scenario for him. What they didn't show during Kylan's birthday party is how jealous Frenchie was of all the attention that Kylan was getting. And now Kylan is HOH.
Yes. And, you know, Kylan has the built-in, like, well, you did put me on the block, but you're a pawn. I need you to play in the veto for me. Like, it's such an easy tit-for-tat after you out of nowhere put me on the block.
There's going to be a bonus power. That's what I heard. So you should really go up on the block. Yeah. I mean, I would love that so much. Frenchie would,
spiral.
I don't even know what he would do.
Could self-evict.
Oh, no.
He's been spiraling. So, like, what does a spiral do when it starts to spiral?
I mean, like shades of like Willie Hance in BB14.
Oh, no.
Who knows?
Oh, gosh.
Who knows?
I have a feeling that Frenchie might actually make it out of this next week. I don't know how, but we did see his dice throwing skills, and I think that can take him a long way. You never know. But he has a lot of, if he's on the block, he has so many opportunities to save himself. I'm just not holding my breath for that one. And you know what? Yeah. Let's keep Frenchie around. TV. It's great TV. So much chaos.
Yeah.
Hard to watch at times, but you know what? Let's appreciate him while we have him. He's not going to make it too far, right?
And what about the prospects for Brent? Is he somebody that would be more likely of a house target?
So, yes, Tiffany and Claire and Azza all would love for Brent to be targeted. Tiffany and Azza, I think, will be pushing Kylan in that direction. Sarah Beth was also open to that idea and would like for Brent to be targeted. So those are three close allies of Kylan's who should be pushing in that direction. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Xavier would care all that much. Xavier is another person who kind of has Kylan's ear. I don't think he's going to step in the way too much of that. So I absolutely see Brent as a potential option here as well.
What about Whitney?
Whitney could go up next to Brent. That was what Tiffany and Azza were planning on doing. It's what a lot of people on that side were planning on doing. So if he does go the Brent path, we could definitely see Whitney on the block next to him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think there are going to be people in the house who are going to try to start to now push for their agenda. And I think that that's really going to help shape Kylan's HOH, because he feels good with a lot of people, or at least he's in alliances with a lot of people. And so then having the input from others, nudging him in one direction or another, I think that's going to make a big impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on nominations potentially?
I'm just happy that Claire and Tiffany and Kylan and you know what? And Travis at home are all safe. Like it's going to be a beautiful week. I'll be here dancing it up, enjoying it, taking it all in, maybe having my own massive cocktails. But you know what? I'm happy for what's about to come, but we might see some shenanigans. Who knows?
Who knows?
So no clue what to expect.
Don't forget about Sunday night will be the wild card competition on the show, which will play out tomorrow. Taryn, what were you going to say?
Yeah.
I would just say just to warn the viewers here, a nightmare scenario is that Kyland gives in to the pressure of many people in the slaughterhouse and nominates Derek X, even if he doesn't intend on targeting him, just nominating him just to appease half the house would be nightmare scenario here.
Okay. We also got a tease that this week, the winner of the wild card competition is going to, if they want safety, have to switch teams. Does that matter for anything?
No.
It could. I mean, it could depend on which team they have to switch to.
I mean, presumably, I would think it would be to the Queens.
Yeah.
Wheel. They have a wheel. Damn it. They're going to use wheel. It.
Oh, boy. So they must love Renap at the Big Brother house.
Put it on the wheel.
My thought was
a fishbowl with ping pong balls. Yeah.
That's how they pick the comps. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's three options, right? One option is you go to the team that's already lost a member. That would be the Queens. Second option would be spin a wheel. Third option would be go to the team of the current HOH, which also happens to be the Queens at the moment. But that one makes the most sense to me because, okay, in order to be safe, you have to join the team that is currently safe and you are safe with them. And what makes that potentially interesting is that you could get a scenario where Kyland wants to target, say, Brent. Brent wins the wildcard competition. And in order to be safe from Kyland, he has to join Kyland's team. And they are now stuck on a team together, unable to target each other until the teams dissolve, which is, you know, one of those. I don't think it would play out that smoothly, but it opens up the possibility for something like that to happen, which would be much more interesting, I think, than the other scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I throw out another wild scenario? Okay. Frenchie wins the wild card competition and be like, we do not want Frenchie on our team. Like, how do we,
can we veto this?
Not it. Yeah.
They
can we play the veto right now and use it to veto Frenchie coming on my team and then I'll still be vulnerable. I don't even care.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow. And Taryn, let me just confirm. Will tomorrow be the wildcard competition during the day and then nominations in the evening?
That's what I would expect. So last week they had a full day prior to the nominations.
They did it on Thursday.
They had an extra day. In the past, what they've done with the safety suite is that they did the safety suite and then they did nominations later that same day. And then they did the veto after that.
Saturday.
Something along those lines.
Okay. All right. We'll keep you posted for when we're going to do the BBQ&A on Friday. All right. Before we check the feedback, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. Big Brother is back. It's summer. That means hot, sunny days and nights that are too hot to get any sleep. Unless you live in the Big Brother house, which is famously cold. Enter Brooklinen. Crisp sheets that breathe to keep you cool mean that you could say goodbye to sweaty, daggone summer nights. Brooklinen was started to create beautiful, high-quality home essentials that don't cost an arm and a leg. And people, what a success. More successful than even Travis's businesses. Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without luxury-level markups. And you get their amazing array of products at a reasonable price. Brooklinen has something for your every comfort need, ideal for seasonal refresh because they're launching new products, colors, and patterns all the time. We're talking about buttery, soft, breathable sheets. And we all know that Travis is in the market for some new sheets because of the unfortunate incident with whipped cream. They've got plush absorbent towels, cozy robes, comfy loungewear that you'll want to put on and never take off. And they're so confident in their core products. They come with a 365-day warranty, and the fans are confident too. That's how they got 75,000 5+ star reviews. That's almost as many as this podcast and counting. Great customer service as well. You are going to love the Brooklinen sheets like I do. I insist that we always have a Brooklinen sheets on our bed because they sleep cool, but they are super comfortable. My favorite sheets that I own are for Brooklinen. Give yourself yourself the comfort refresh you deserve and get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code ROB for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Enter promo code ROB for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Rob. All right, let's get into the feedback. Oh, Instagram poll first. Oh boy, I wish we had a jingle for the Instagram poll. All right, here we go.
It's Instagram poll.
Instagram poll.
Will Frenchie touch the block this week? 21% said probably not. 79% said I hope so.
Those aren't two opposite answers.
Yeah, this isn't like a Gallup poll or anything like that. I think we need to get some people to check this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can both hope so and think probably not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, okay. You know.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Okay.
But probably not. That's like both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be both. Sarah asks, is Alyssa only targeting Derek X because of the information from Frenchie? I seem to remember her bonding with him a little bit. Is Alyssa targeting Derek X?
Yes. And yes, it is from the information from Frenchie. That is not true. It is false information that she believes, and that's why she's targeting Derek X. The reason that she was bonding with him before is because he had the veto and she was trying to convince him to use it, and after he did not use it on her, she stopped.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Patrick Wells says, how nervous were you when Brent was in the lead during the HOH? I think people were very nervous.
Very nervous.
Yep. Yeah.
Very, very nervous. We didn't mention it earlier. Just a little.
Pretty nervous.
Just a smidge. Just
probably a clip of how nervous I was.
Okay. Jar Jar Jacobs wants to know, what do you think about Travis said about Frenchie before the show? They seemed to hug it out before he left. Could it really have been that crazy? I mean, I do think we'll see it on Sunday.
I think so. Especially the fact that Julie talked about it in the interview. I think then we might get a small clip of it. Although I thought it was also hilarious that Frenchie, of course, had to be the last one to hug Travis before he went out the door. Because mm-hmm. it's the world revolves around Frenchie.
Mm-hmm. Question from Evie. Challenge. How many friends or family members can you shout out in your eviction night speech? Okay. Who? Liana, Matt? Who's up for this?
Oh, my gosh.
Here's my pitch for it. I think Azza, has us all beat. All she has to do is say, I think it was Hannah that did this, but all Azza has to do is say, hi family, love you.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Yeah.
Like hundreds. Easy.
300. Yeah. Wait, if just the cousins, it's 300.
Can we go back to that? Can we go back to that last question, Scott? I'm wondering now, is the question, how many friends and family members can you shout out? Or is Evie saying, how many friends and family members can you shout out in your eviction speech? Just go at the end.
I think it's a challenge for us.
It says go
at the end.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm just like forgetting my entire family right now. It's bad.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my mom, my dad, Puya, my sister, other members of my family, my island mama, Axel, Rose, Lynn, Axel. Jeremy, Gertrude. All right. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I would probably be like, I think Sarah Beth or whoever it was who went up first, who was just like a wave. It was just a wave. It was like no words, just a wave. Like, and there were not as many shout outs as I'm used to during the vote. So, hey, I don't know. I'd probably have like zero because I would have a plan and then lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, you got to check yourself out in the mirror on the way out. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a question from Lauren. Lauren says, Travis lives in Hawaii. Love Island is being filmed on Hawaii. Oh. Will we see Travis on Love Island next week? And don't forget to check out the Love Island Rehab Up, 2 episodes each week with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally. Winston famously went to Love Island after, but I think that was actually during Big Brother 21.
Yeah, that was the next season.
But could they send Travis right to Love Island?
I don't know how Love Island works, but I would guess that they don't have the flexibility for that sort of thing.
I think with COVID, I think it's a lie. That's somebody else from their bubble.
Plus, remember, He's got an island mama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe they could bubble export him, like ship him in a bubble, like Bubble Boy.
Right.
Just push him across the Pacific over to Hawaii and he's there on Love Island. And
I'm just imagining like Julie, that's a good thing. Julie rejected the hug, so they could just put him in a shipping crate so he's isolated and then just take the shipping crate and take it across the ocean and then just open the shipping crate on the set of Love Island and then boom, there he is.
Yeah,
that's what they're going for.
I'm just picturing a shirtless Travis getting all bubbled up like, man, this is the bee's knees.
Bubble wrap, that'd be perfect.
Pop some oopsie daisy.
Abby says, I feel like the teams need to be wearing different color buffs because I can't keep track, at least for when they compete for HOH. How about that?
Wrong show.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are actually doing something that I've really enjoyed, which is when a team, when it's just one team talking, they're showing like a little lower third that says, this is the kings, this is the queens. Mm-hmm. They've never really done that before in this way. I really enjoy it. It's just another one of those like little touches that they've done this season that that I think is good.
Okay.
I just feel like they should make them wear hats. Like a Joker
kind of hat.
Very straightforward. Queen hat. Like maybe... I don't know.
Like are they crowns?
King's crown. Sure.
And then we'll the Joker was wearing like a jester hat?
I think a jester hat.
What
is
the ace wear?
I have, look. A big A on their head maybe? Or
maybe
like
an A hat.
Scarlet A.
Big Brother loves their costumes. Why not just go full
Queenitar?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't put them in the diary room yet as a group to make them say, you know, we are the kings.
Yeah.
Like, we are big sisters.
Freakazoids.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron wants to know, is the theme of risk and reward actively improving the Big Brother competition design as well? The competition felt like an interesting mix of risk and skill. You know, let's not give them too much credit.
Yeah, not inherently.
Mm-hmm.
It could.
I think that maybe the point here is that like they would never improve their competitions on their own.
Yes.
I think a byproduct of the theme that they've chosen is that the competitions have improved a little bit.
So far, good. It's only week two, and it's not that uncommon that we have a week two crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's do one more question. Okay, Amanda, would you give a lap dance to avoid being evicted? I think we all would.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Who wouldn't?
I think you get evicted if you give a lap dance. It's the kiss of death, the lap dance death.
Not if you give a good one.
It's a good point, Liana.
The track record for lap dances in the Big Brother house is not good.
Not good. All right. Exactly. All right. Let's not end on that. Love It You says, does the slaughterhouse survive with a Kylan HOH? Will the cookout have an impact on this week's announce? Well, even if somebody goes out, I think that, there's a lot of people there. How much will the cookout have an impact on this week's nominations, do you think?
Well, it depends on what nominations. Mm-hmm. if he targets the slaughterhouse, then I think the cookout, but less so the cookout and more so, like, I don't think the cookout at large is going to have an influence on Kylan as much as Tiffany and Azza might have an influence on Kylan, or Big D and Xavier might have an influence on Kylan because they have kind of conflicting interests there. And I do think if Kylan nominates two people from Slaughterhouse, if he targets somebody in Slaughterhouse, I think Slaughterhouse is absolutely destroyed. I don't think there's any recovering from that. If he does something else, then I think it's a different story.
Okay. All right. Anything else from tonight's Big Brother as we head into week two?
Exciting.
Yeah. Okay.
Exciting. It's exciting. And I'm so happy with the outcome, and it's marching on, and this season has just been really enjoyable so far. And if you're not watching the feeds or checking out Taryn's updates, I suggest it, because there's so much more wackadoo insanity going on that it's worth it.
If you're not checking out Taryn's updates, what the French is wrong with you? Exactly. Ask yourself that question.
New tagline. But it's all the mess this week. Beautiful. So much mess. I feel like Marie Kondo just embracing it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're not listening to the updates, then that's basically the equivalent of only watching Game of Thrones season 8 and never getting to read the rest of George R. R. Martin's books.
Hmm. I think it's going to be most of us, no?
Yeah.
But it's a nightmare scenario, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Dark.
Why would you intentionally put yourself in that position?
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't.
Hey. Look what's coming up tomorrow morning. I'm sorry. We have an exit interview coming up. That's going to be later on in the day. That's going to be sometime mid-afternoon on Friday. So don't be looking for that first thing in the morning when we get the chance to talk to Travis. But what is going to be first thing in the morning? It's going to be Taryn and the great Pooya Zanvakili. And it's going to be a Pooya Friday to talk about what's Kylan going to do?
What a coincidence. We were just talking about live feed updates.
Oh my gosh,
I can't believe there's one tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So,
French.
Yes.
Wow, we're so lucky.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. I know where I'll be. Of course, then also on Friday, we'll have the second week of the BBQ N/A, where Taryn and I will take your live calls and talk about what's going on. Taryn, what do you think the move is there? Should we do it when the feeds go down for the comp or when the feeds go down for the nominations?
We might be waiting a while if we wait for nominations. We'll play it by ear. If it goes down for the comp at around the time we're looking to go live, then we could do it then.
Patrons, we'll keep you posted on Friday, of course, when you can call in and ask us your questions about week two on a, as always, fluid situation. Speaking of fluid situations, the slap is going to be back for another round on Monday night. We had so much fun with Jenny Autumn. Talked about the new intros, some wild clips that we pulled from the live feed updates. And then this week we'll be back again for the patrons, talking about all the nonsense of the world of Big Brother and some good alumni drama as well. This week, Kirsten McInnes will join me to take a break from all the Love Island talk to talk about the slop. And hopefully we'll have a lot more fun along the way on that one. Speaking of Kirsten McInnes, I talked to her on Tuesday night when we rehashed all of Survivor Millennials versus Derek X. I'm sorry, Gen X. with Kirsten McInnes and Asia Welch. Had a great time with that panel. That was a very, very fun one to go back and look at the 12th best season of Survivor as we are counting down the top 40 seasons of Survivor all year long. And of course, from Millennials versus Gen X, Michaela Bradshaw will join T-Bird and myself this weekend for a special Talking with T-Bird. Should be a lot of fun to catch up with Michaela, who is incredible in that season. That was a lot of fun. So much going on with Big Brother and Survivor. And that's all so much more going on our patron podcast feed. Of course, I did our Millennials versus Gen X patron feedback show as well, and much more. Plus, get access to our patron Facebook groups, patron Discord, and much more. When you become a patron of Rob as a Podcast, robhasawebsite.com/patron for everything we're doing over on Patreon. Of course, check out everything from the sponsors of our podcast when you go to robiswebsite.com/offers. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. What are you waiting for? It's free. Click that bell to be notified whenever we go live. And of course, check out everything we're doing over on social media, where you can follow us on Twitter at Rob's Podcast, vote in our polls at RHAP Grams, and much more. See all of our podcaster takeovers and everything we're doing over on Instagram. All right. Boy, I'm glad I didn't get conked out doing all of the updates of what's coming up on Rob's Podcast. All right. Liana, what's coming up for you?
I am podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6 with Amon and Beth. That's going on. So much fun. Also on that season, it's been really enjoyable. The reality TV gods have blessed us this year when it comes to the shows that are popping up. So definitely check that out. And then I'm doing a little bit of sporadic coverage of Lego Masters on Fox. So my sister and I, she's a huge, huge Lego nerd, and we've been getting together to talk about that. They've had a few weeks off, so we'll be back in a few weeks to talk about that. And then also Mike Bloom and I are going to be getting together in 2 weeks to do another BNB to break down. I don't even know how, but we're going to create some fun and have some games with the first couple weeks of the season, and that'll be out soon as well.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Now, these players are giving you and Mike a lot to work with.
We're going to invent a 28D chess game, much like Frenchie was playing 28D chess, because, you know, he said at the beginning of the week he wanted a meathead, a white man out, and he got that. So really just fulfilling the prophecy that was put out by Frenchie. We're going to try to do the same.
Mm-hmm. All right. Liana, so nice to have you here with us on a Thursday night.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I always love coming by and talking to you guys about Big Brother. I mean, this is the thing is I applied for So You Think Can Podcast because I wanted to cover Big Brother. And so there's nothing that brings me more joy than being able to come on here and man, get into the season that is SpaghettiOs.
And it makes it more special on a Thursday night when we have you here, because that always comes through just how excited you are with each one of these evictions. So it was so nice to have you here with us tonight. Matt, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, just enjoying Liana being excited about evicting people, which is a weird thing to be excited about. But I'm here with you, co-hosting the Wrestling Rehab, of course, with the one, the only, Mari Forth. We actually did a BB23 WWE video game simulation to determine our official Wrestling Rehab winner pick. So check out the last week in the podcast to see what that was like. We had Puya on, we had Grace on, and we had Sasha on for all of that BB content. So we like to do the crossovers and check that out on YouTube or on the actual podcast otherwise. Yes, this is so fun. Wrestling Wrap Up with Matt and Mari. Check it out. Otherwise, I would say you could hear me on BB coverage coming up, and you could also check out Black Voices of RHAP, which was released last month, but great podcast featuring 17 Black RHAP podcasters. I love all of them so much, and so I can't stop plugging that whenever I have the chance. But yeah, we are talking about representation, reality TV, our fandom, fun things. And so that's where you could find me. You could also find me and all the other things.
It was an incredible job putting it all together, Matt.
And thank you, Rob. And I'm just glad that we could do that. And I'm excited for whatever comes next after all of that. But if you want to find out where that is, just follow me at Matt Scott GW to stay up to date with all the other things. So that's Matt Scott GW. And those are my plugs.
Yeah. Well, Matt, great to have you here as well. Everybody, yeah. Check out the Wrestling Rehab Up this weekend. And Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I stream today about the Stock Watch. I'm also live during every episode to watch with you guys and react to it. I was definitely nervous during the HOH competition, so that was a lot of fun. And of course, if you're looking for swimwear, go to likehoneyswim.com and check out some great swimwear. And see you guys soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here tonight. We'll be back with another live episode of our Big Brother recap coming up on Sunday night after the episode. And we'll see what's going to go on with the wildcard competition and then also the new nominations. Should be a lot of fun. We will see you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.